sporty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
The 16th IAAF World Indoor Championships in Athletics are taking place this weekend in the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon. The first two gold medals were awarded Thursday night in the men's and women's pole vault. World record holder Renaud Lavianney of France won the men's competition with a height of 6.02 meters. The Frenchman set his world record in 2014 at an indoor meet in Ukraine, where he reached 6.16 meters. Meanwhile, in the women's pole vault final in Portland, Olympic champion Jen Suhr of the USA won her first world indoor title with a gold medal winning height of 4.90 meters. Jen is part of a very strong 58-member USA team that topped the medals table at the last World Indoor Championships in Poland in 2014. With the home crowd cheering them on in Portland, I think the Americans will once again win the most medals. Track analyst Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse says another Olympic champion for the United States is bidding for his third consecutive world indoor title in the heptathlon.
Ashton Eaton in the men's heptathlon. Eaton has the world record in this event. He's the world record decathlete outdoors and also the defending world and Olympic champion. Eaton really has been just about unbeatable in the multi-events in the last couple of years. And here he's going to be competing just about 2 hours' drive from his training base in Eugene. This is probably as close to a home meet as Eaton is going to see in his career, unless he manages to hang on all the way to 2021 when the World Outdoor Championships will come to Eugene. The Americans are strong in the sprints. Barbara Pierre has the world-leading time in the 60 meters. Mike Rogers is a former world champion in that event, and Trayvon Brommel, a medalist in 100 meters outdoors, the defending champion in the women's 800, Aji Wilson, Boris Berrien in the men's 800. 2 years ago, Boris Berrien was getting $8 an hour flipping hamburgers at McDonald's, and now he is the U.S. national champion at 800 meters and poised to take on the world.
Wow.
Yes, he's a fantastic story. Berrien trains in Big Bear, California with Brenda Martinez, who is an outdoor 800-meter world championship medalist and will be running the 1,500 meters in Portland. Being close to Eugene means that there are a lot of entrants in this meet who are very close to their training bases. There's a training group in Eugene that includes Sheila Reed from Canada, Mo Aman, who is the defending men's 800-meter champion from Ethiopia, Sally Kipyego of Kenya. She's not entered, but she's an outdoor world championship medalist. And obviously the Eatons, both Ashton and his wife, who is a multiple outdoor silver medalist in the women's heptathlon, Brianne Thiessen Eaton. She is a leading contender for the gold in the women's pentathlon in Portland.
Parker, do you get the sense that most of the athletes are using Portland as a tune-up for the Rio Olympics in August?
Absolutely, especially for athletes like Boris Berrien, who is new to the international scene. This is a chance for them to run an international championships where the stakes are somewhat lower and get a taste of international competition before they need to face that Olympic theater. It's going to be a very loud and enthusiastic atmosphere. Oregon is the hotbed of athletics passion, really, in the United States. There is no place in the United States with as many knowledgeable and passionate fans as Oregon. So there will be a full house, but because the track is 200 meters, not 400 meters, as it is outdoors, there's a real premium not just on speed, but also on tactics, on knowing where to be on the track and when to be there, knowing when to make your move, when to be in front, and how not to get boxed in. And those are all lessons that all of the track athletes in particular will want to learn before they are on the track in Rio.
Finally, Parker, your thoughts on one of the youngest members, maybe the youngest member of the USA team, 18-year-old Vashti Cunningham, daughter of former NFL quarterback Randall Cunningham. She'll be competing in the women's high jump. Do you see her as maybe the next face of American athletics?
She very much could be. She jumped 1.99 meters this season, which is the kind of height that a lot of world-class high jumpers don't reach in their entire career. And she just did that last weekend. There's no chance that she has lost fitness between then and now. She might need to add a few centimeters to really get up into gold medal territory. But again, high jump, much like the indoor track events, has a lot of strategy to it. If she can get to that 1.99 height with very few misses and really put the screws to her other competitors, she could find herself on the podium as a junior. We don't see that much in the U.S. It does happen, but it doesn't happen much in the high jump. So she's got quite a career in front of her now. And if she can keep improving, she doesn't have to improve very much to really be on top of the world. We have not had a world-leading women's high jumper in the USA for decades.
Thanks, Parker. That's track analyst Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse, who's covering the World Indoor Championships in Athletics in Portland, Oregon. Meanwhile, the VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma, tells us about the total prize money in Portland.
Over $2.4 million is up for grabs as more than 600 athletes begin vying for medals at the IAAF World Indoor Athletics Championships in Portland. Each gold medalist will earn $40,000. The other five finalists will earn $20,000, $10,000, $8,000, $6,000, and $4,000 respectively in descending order. Any athlete who sets a world record will earn a $50,000 bonus. The IAAF clarifies that prize money will only be disbursed after the mandatory doping tests.
You asked for it, and we're delivering more sports.
I love Sunnyside Sports.
Starting March 21st, the Sunnyside of Sports is expanding to half an hour. Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC.
Our African football guru, David Legg, joins us now for a look at recent African goal-scoring highlights in Europe.
Arsenal, their two-year reign as FA Cup holders in England is over, and it's over as a result of African goals. The first of the two in a 2-1 shock away victory at the Emirates Stadium for Watford was scored by Odion Ighalo. He's Nigerian, and he scored early in the second half. And then an unstoppable drive from Guidioro, the Algerian, gave Watford a 2-0 lead. Arsenal pulled one back with 2 minutes left, but it was too little, too late. And a team that will become synonymous with success in the FA Cup were out of the competition. And then we had that all-too-predictable post-match comment from Arsene Wenger, who said that the better team lost. Every time Arsenal loses a match, the better team loses. But well done then to our African sharpshooters. And Watford now through to the semi-finals. And also through, Sunny, are Everton, Crystal Palace. The match between West Ham United and Manchester United at Old Trafford ended in a 1-1 draw. So that match will have to go to replay. Max Gradel, the Ivorian who plays for Bournemouth, he's been out of action for 6 months with a rather serious injury. And he came back and scored one of the goals in a 3-2 win over Swansea City. One of the Swansea City goals came from Modu Barrow. And there was a touch of history to that one. He is the first Gambian to score a goal in the English Premier League. So well done to Modu Barrow. And the name Sonny, we've said before on the Sunny Side of Sport, keep an eye out for Cedric Bakambu. He was born in France, but his parents come from DR Congo, and that's where he's laid down his international roots. He scored a brace for Villarreal. Unfortunately, it couldn't prevent a 4-2 loss to Sevilla. But that is now 16 goals he has scored in Spain this season. And I think here is a budding star.
Bakambu sure sounds like a budding star, David. That's David Legg, our African football guru, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny, and happy Friday.
Happy Friday. What's trending in the sports world on this Friday, Andrew?
Well, Nike, the big U.S. athletic apparel maker, now a global brand, a global company.
Who dropped Manny Pacquiao.
That's very good. You're referencing way back when we started, so very good. Nike has announced the Olympic uniforms for Team USA, and actually a couple other countries that it produces uniforms for, but they showed those off yesterday, and it created a lot of social media buzz. You had Allyson Felix, an athletics star sprinter, modeling the women's track and field uniform. Kevin Durant, of course, huge NBA player, modeling the men's basketball uniforms.
Okay.
And Elena Delladone, who is the reigning WNBA MVP, she was modeling the women's basketball uniform. So you had a lot of the different athletes showing those off and creating, like I said, a lot of attention on social media. They look very cool. I
don't know about the basketball uniforms, Andrew, but I imagine the track and field outfits are probably aerodynamic in nature.
They are. They actually, for the women's uniform, has separate sleeves that you can put on, even to that level of detail, to create more aerodynamics and help these athletes run faster.
Now, Nike, one of the major outfitters of the USA team, what other countries do they outfit in terms of uniforms?
Well, I saw some from Brazil. It was this kind of lime green kind of color, for the basketball uniforms. And Canada, similar to the U.S., were a white uniform, just as Canada on the front. The U.S. was a plain white uniform for basketball, just has the athlete's number and just USA on the front. But going back to what you were saying about the aerodynamics and the speed, it's interesting, not just the uniforms themselves looking cool, but the cool technology behind them. Nike said that it actually engineered specific kinds of filaments and threads to use in these uniforms to make them breathable, to make them more aerodynamic. And this, of course, was a controversy in the last Olympics in 2014. The U.S. speed skating team said that they were slowed down because of their uniforms from Under Armour, which is another big company, apparel company here in the U.S. They said that their uniforms actually caused them to lose some of the races. They speculated that it was not properly designed. So interesting that Nike is making a big push on social media saying, look, we put out these great uniforms. They're aerodynamic. They're sleek. We put in a lot of technology and a lot of investment into these uniforms.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. I received a tweet from Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse, who we heard from earlier. Parker is covering the World Indoor Championships in Portland, Oregon. And Parker sent me a video. I believe the way Parker describes him, it's a Kenyan athlete, Caleb Ndiku, the defending champion from Kenya at 3,000 meters. Parker says he might be the only athlete in Portland with his own rap video, his own rap music video. It's titled Run Caleb Ndiku, and I did watch it. It's very lively, Andrew. It's a great video. Lots of shots of Caleb running, too.
Well, Caleb is probably looking to people like LeBron James and other huge stars here in the U.S., or maybe Cristiano Ronaldo, who are athletes and amazingly talented, but they also are involved in maybe acting or fashion, kind of crossover success. So he may be trying to learn from them with this rap video.
And let me give a quick shout out, Andrew, for the rap artist in that video, Machakos Chalo. And I think his first name anyways is where he's from in Kenya, Machakos, Kenya. And he's the one that collaborated with Caleb and Deku. So we wish Caleb well as he defends his title this weekend in Portland. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, speaking of Cristiano Ronaldo, speaking of Nike, which we were just talking about, one of the products that they introduced at this event yesterday was something called Hyper Adapt, and it's a self-lacing shoe. You actually put your foot in and it automatically adjusts to how tight the shoe should be based on the shape of your foot. And Cristiano Ronaldo was one of the first people to get to try this out and actually put an Instagram video out where you see him putting the shoe on and he says, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is a very cool product. So, of course, some great marketing for Nike on behalf of that soccer star.
So, in other words, you don't have to bend down and tie the shoelaces.
He just puts his foot in and you hear a kind of mechanical noise and it apparently adjusts, so he says. But a lot of comparisons on social media to Back to the Future. Of course, they had the self-lacing shoes in that movie, so they're saying, finally, we've arrived at this point. It's become a reality.
Now, can you give us a price on those self-lacing shoes, Andrew?
You know, I didn't see a price just yet, but I'm willing to bet it is not cheap. We'll leave it at that. We'll just say that.
Anything else trending, Andrew, in the sports world?
Well, of course, the other big story here in the U.S., the NCAA tournament. Already, as we talked about earlier in the week, hashtag brackets busted. My bracket is fairly busted. Some of the upsets I picked didn't come to fruition. Some of the teams I thought would win were upset, like Baylor defeated by Yale. That was a big upset yesterday. Purdue being defeated by the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. And I just do want to point out, though, that I'm in good company, and anyone else out there who filled out a bracket that didn't maybe succeed, ESPN said that out of 13 million brackets that were filled out here in the U.S. through their bracket challenge, only about 14,000 are still perfect.
That's
0.1%.
Wow. Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
More football news now on the VOA. Sierra Leone and Columbus Crew striker Kai Kamara is coming off his most productive season in MLS. He was the league's joint leading scorer with 22 goals during 2015. VOA's Rick Narcisse reached Kamara and asked him, how do you plan to top your 2015 season?
Just be focused. It's a very important year when you have a season like we did as a team, and also me individually. It's really good, but then always just coming back from that and continue to doing almost the same thing or better than you did. So it's really being focused, and for me, just to have the same connection as I did last year with my teammates and just continue to work hard, because it's really good time in my career right now that I need to continue being at my best.
How important is winning the MLS Cup to you?
Winning the MLS Cup is all I play for right now. Obviously, earlier in my career, you know, I enjoy the game. I want to play. I want to score goals. But right now, my focus is just winning the cup. I've been in this league for 10 years playing. I really miss a cup in a few different teams that I've played for. So definitely right now, if I can win the MLS Cup, it's really all that I'm playing for.
What did you try to focus on this offseason to be better this year?
The offseason was all about resting a little bit, because our season was longer than everybody else's. We went all the way to December, while most of the teams finished in October. And so it was just getting a little bit of rest, refreshed my buttons, went back home to Sierra Leone, see my family, and celebrate the end of Ebola with them, and just have a little bit of, you know, joyful time with them. And then I came back into preseason.
Who are some of the players this season that you're really looking forward to playing?
I would have to say I'm looking forward to playing against a lot of teams, really, because it's a very competitive league this year. It's always been, you know, in the past few years. So we're looking forward to challenging a lot of teams, because a lot of teams want to play against us, and a lot of teams know, you know, we play one of the beautiful, you know, soccer and competitive soccer in America. But yeah, at the same time, yeah, there's big names of players in this league now, as the Didier Drogba, Frank Lampard, Jovinko, David Villa, and all those names. I mean, yeah, you can say you look forward to play against them, but to me, really, I just look forward to playing against all the different teams.
So last year, you won the MLS Works Humanitarian of the Year award. So what did that mean to you?
It's an honor to be recognized as a humanitarian. You know, to me, it's not a job. I'm just being myself, helping out here in America and helping out in Sierra Leone or just helping out even when they work with Right to Play, when they, you know, we travel to places like Liberia, Peru, and just different countries. You know, it's part of me, and I'm really happy when I'm involved into doing these things. I don't feel like it's a job. So, but definitely to be honored as a Humanitarian of the Year last year, it shows like a little bit of respect, saying, you know, we appreciate what you do. I'm not going to stop doing it, and I'm not going to keep doing it just to win awards. I'm just doing it because that's just part of me, and that's, you know, it makes me feel good.
So what would you say is your greatest achievement as a player?
It's really out there. It's really random. For soccer, definitely, you know, greatest achievement has to be, you know, just becoming a professional soccer player. You know, I came into America at the age of 16. I said to myself, by the age of 19, I wanted to go to college, which I did. And then by the age of 21, I want to play professional soccer, which I did. So all those are just, you know, really, really good achievement. And obviously then later on making another goal for myself, saying I want to play in England, which I did, playing for Norwich. And so it's amazing. But achievement in life, I have to, you know, say right now, it's you know, having my little girl, you know, having the child last year was definitely one of the greatest achievements I've had.
How did that change your life? Did that change your perspective on things a little bit, having your first child?
It does. It's a beautiful thing. Obviously, growing up in Africa, we all know all our families are really big, you know, having extended family or just, you know, near family. But definitely when you have your child of your own, everything changes, you know, become humble to it. And for me, it's a girl. So they say when you have a girl, you treat her like a princess. And that's what I'm doing. And she gets the best part of me, you know, the soft side of me. It's good too on the field. Off the field, because it keeps me grounded. It keeps me I have more rest, you know, off the field, because I'm home most of the time and spending time with her. And so when I'm ready to get back on the field, then I'm always ready.
Arguably, you have some of the best goal celebrations in the league.
Thank you.
How do you come up with these celebrations?
Oh man, it's part of my personality. I love to dance. I love to have fun. I love to connect with my teammates. So it's just definitely part of my personality. I watch soccer all around the world, you know, and my celebration is not just soccer related. It's just about just life, you know, music. I'm, you know, listening to music and all the musicians out there and what they do, what they dance and all that. So when I'm on the field, you know, I try to implement that. But before I could, you know, celebrate, you know, I have to score a goal. And obviously most of my celebrations, I try to involve some of my teammates in it, because maybe not a lot of people are that creative as me. But, you know, if I can involve them into it, it really does help and brings the team chemistry together.
So do you watch any NCAA basketball?
NCAA basketball, no, I'm not a big fan. I went to a small school in California, Division II, so we never made, you know, the bracket or, you know, the big ones. But a lot of my teammates are into it, but not me. But if I have to support a team right now, I have to say it's have to be KU, Kansas basketball team.
What's funny is Monmouth, their bench, has some of the best celebrations. It's been all over ESPN.
I'll have to look them up and some of their celebrations.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to us today. Good luck on everything. I see you already got one goal. So hopefully you can lead the league again and top last year and keep getting better and maybe winning a championship.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, God bless. Hopefully we talk again soon.
That's Kai Kamara, the striker for Sierra Leone and the Columbus Crew in Major League Soccer. And Kai was talking with VOA's Rick Narcisse by telephone from Columbus, Ohio. Meanwhile, Rick is also guest blogger this week at the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Rick writes about Malian player Sheck Jallo of the University of Kansas, which is the number one overall seed in the annual National Collegiate Athletic Association Division I Men's Basketball Championship Tournament.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria, it's like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Sports? Hear about it first, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports.
And this VOA programming note, beginning March 21st, the Sunny Side of Sports will expand to 30 minutes daily, Monday through Friday. So be sure to tune in at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC for the newly expanded 30-minute Sunny Side of Sports, beginning March 21st. Turning to tennis, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic. Even if you're not a tennis fan, chances are you've been hearing these three names quite often for more than a decade, and especially when it's time to play for the trophy at big tournaments around the globe. They're all double-digit Grand Slam winners and still firmly on top of world tennis. VOA's Bracha Georgievich recently sat down at a suburban Washington tennis center with former professional player and now ESPN analyst Patrick McEnroe to talk about the so-called Big Three.
Patrick McEnroe believes that we have been living in the golden era of men's tennis. He says Switzerland's Roger Federer, Spain's Rafael Nadal, and Serbia's Novak Djokovic are three of the greatest players of all time.
Federer, to me, is still the best I've ever seen. Djokovic certainly is on his way to maybe being in that conversation where he's right there with Federer if he can continue to do what he's done over the next 2-3 years. Obviously Nadal, you know, maybe the greatest competitor we've ever seen, and sort of willed himself to become more than just a clay court player. And imagine if you're Andy Murray. I mean, you're a great player. You've been in multiple Grand Slam finals, only to lose to Djokovic, you know, in Australia 1,500 times. You know, he's won two majors, he won the Olympics. And he's sort of the next guy.
Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic have been so dominant that at least one of them has been in all but one Grand Slam final since the 2005 French Open. The only American to reach a Grand Slam title match in that period was Andy Roddick, losing to Federer at Wimbledon in 2009.
Most countries would have to say the same thing. If you're, you know, from Sweden, for example, from France, you know, Australia, countries that have a great history in tennis, it's pretty much been, for the most part, three players. Obviously, Murray's won a couple. Wawrinka's now won two. You know, Del Potro won the U.S. Open before he got injured. We hope he can come back and be a factor again. But you've just got these players that are so good, and the surfaces have become more similar over the years. So that means that the best players are really the best players on every surface.
And that certainly was the case in 2015, when world number one Djokovic came one match short of winning a calendar Grand Slam, all four majors in one year. He lost in the final in Paris to Switzerland's Stanislas Wawrinka, and Roland Garros is still the only Grand Slam the Serbian star has not won.
If he plays his absolute best, it would be hard to pick against him. But I think the gap between him and the field is not as great as it is at the other Grand Slams.
McEnroe thinks that the biggest threat for the Big Three, or Big Four if you count Murray, is going to come from players who are now 18, 19, or 20. As far as others in the top 10, he does not see them as multiple Grand Slam winners.
They might sneak in like Cilic did, like Del Potro did, and win one, but I think probably it'll come from either a Kyrgios, a Borna Korčoric, a Zverev from Germany, maybe one of the American guys, Taylor Fritz, Tiafoe. I think we've got a good group of young American guys as well. So I think that's probably where the next great couple of players, maybe one, maybe two players, will come from and start to dominate the majors.
However, McEnroe concludes that is still probably 2 to 3 years away. Bratsa Georgievic, VOA News, College Park, Maryland.
The Voice of America, VOA.
And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Marty Curcius. And thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, Monday, March 21st, I start a new 30-minute program beginning at 16:30 UTC right here on the Voice of America. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.